The following is a recording for Bill Thorne with the National Retail Federation on Thursday, February 8th, 2018 at 9 o'clock a.m. Central Time. Excuse me, everyone. We now have all of our speakers in conference. Please be aware that each of your lines is in a listen-only mode. At the conclusion of today's presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, further instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Mr. Bill Thorne. Mr. Thorne, you may begin.
Thank you very much, Chelsea, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. Today we're going to hear from NRF President and CEO Matthew Shea and the National Retail Federation's Chief Economist, Jack Kleinhans. To kick things off, let's go to Matt to discuss our annual forecast. Matt, what can you tell us about expectations for sales growth in 2018?
Thanks, Bill. Good morning, everyone. I'm glad to have the opportunity to talk to you about this year's forecast. Before we do that, maybe we take a look back at 2016, which we think really sets the stage, and 16, 17, and sets the stage for the coming year. The U.S. economy ended the year with a familiar trend of less than 2% economic growth, and the weak first half of the market, I think, got us off to not the best start, but we picked up momentum as we went through the year. And we know that the fourth quarter grew 2.6% after several quarters in the middle of the year of strong results. So that back-to-back growth of three quarters, I think, is the best we've seen since 2004. As we get into this year, we think that as the economy continues to grow, which we expect it will, we'll register another year of above-trend growth in the range of 2.5% to 3% across the economy, broadly speaking. And that projection, I think, incorporates the boost from the recent tax reform bill, which will not only help provide an increase in take-home pay, which has lagged in recent months, but also obviously going to put small businesses and corporations in a better position to invest in their companies and their enterprises. So to retail specifically, although the headlines last year surrounding the industry were not always positive, overall sales increased 3.9% last year, which is substantially better than the 3.6% growth in 2016. And the online and other non-store sales grew just over 10% in 2017. And so I think from our perspective, we think these confirm once again that the retail industry, while continuing to transform, is alive and well. And to go back to the tax reform passage in mid-December, we think that's already starting to have an impact on retailers in terms of their business strategies. We know it's had an impact on employee wages. You've seen a number of announcements from many companies on that front. And we anticipate that consumers are going to continue to boost the economy with that additional income that's going to be showing up in their paychecks very, very soon. So for this year, we believe the economy is on firm ground, notwithstanding the gyrations of the last couple of days. Expected to build on the momentum we saw during the holiday season, and as you'll have seen in the press release that just went out, we expect retail sales for this year to increase between 3.8% and 4.4%, and we expect online and non-store sales to increase between 10% and 12%. In terms of, I guess, the other objective factor I think plays into this is, consumer spending really continues to be at the center of this outlook. It's going to continue to increase, we think, thanks to the combination of low unemployment, increased wages, and reduced taxes. Overall confidence in the economy remains high. U.S. households have the capacity to take on more debt, which we saw in the fourth quarter of last year. And that accelerating pace of revolving outstanding credit, I think, provides further evidence that consumers are feeling confident about the economy and feel that they're going to be in good position to take on that debt and repay it over time. The fundamentals of the tight labor market, which we've seen come into play just since the beginning of this year, seem to be a much more potent force on confidence with job seekers. We're going to find more plentiful job opportunities. And the key with that consumer confidence really is the existence of jobs, and the more jobs available, the stronger the consumer sentiment. So with all those macro factors, I think the retail industry continues to be in a very good place to transform itself, adopt the new technologies, the new means by which they're engaging with consumers, to stay more connected, to deliver the experiences that consumers have come to expect in this high-demand world. So, Bill, I'd say overall we're expecting another very strong year, building on the momentum of last year.
I'm going to ask you a quick question, Matt. You just came off the big show. You spent a lot of time with a lot of some of the nation's largest retailers. You had an opportunity to sit down and talk with Doug McMillon. How do they feel? I mean, they're looking at what just happened over the holidays. They're looking to the future. Is there a sense of optimism, concern?
I think the psyche and the general mindset right now is very, very positive. Lots of optimism building off the holiday season. I think we saw a number of things at the holiday season. We saw strong consumer confidence. We saw over the course of last year retailers finding ways to compete successfully in this disruptive environment. And we really saw that virtually across every category, including the categories that have been most challenged over the last couple of years. So I think the retail industry and consumers are in a very good position to continue to drive the economy forward this year, both with the momentum of last fall and the holiday season, and then the wind at their backs from the tax cuts, both on the personal side and on the small business and corporate side.
Jack Kleinhans, our chief economist, can you give us kind of your insights into how we came up with these numbers and what you see ahead?
Thanks, Bill, and I'm happy to be here today. Let's just begin by saying, you look across the board and reflecting on the labor market conditions, the data truly indicate that the fundamental structure of the economy are very healthy. And, I mean, 88 consecutive months of payroll increases, and that those are expected to continue. As Matt was saying, the consumer and businesses are confident and they're optimistic. Let's just look back at the fourth quarter GDP number. And one of my favorite measures is actually when you look at real final sales to domestic producers. You take out inflation, you take out trade, you take out government, and you see what really is being spent here in on a domestic basis, and it was up 4.6%. That's two times the amount that it was in the third quarter. And it's the fastest that we've seen since the second quarter of 2014. And then if you just overlay the leading economic index by the conference board, which was just released back in January, it shows that the national economy is actually supposed to be solid and remain that way for at least the next 6 months. I think building on what Matt was saying about the consumer, the willingness to spend and the ability to spend are very apparent, and they underpinned by consumer confidence. And we saw that during the holidays. I can't minimize the importance of confidence. A confident consumer is really a confident spender. And I think that's what we have to build on. It has been outpacing, spending has been outpacing income. Certainly the increases in wages and also the tax plan that's in place should help build on that. I'm not too worried about the fact that there is any issues with household debt. It's basically not at risk. Certainly savings is down a little bit, but that also can be an indication that people are feeling pretty good about taking and spending at this time, and they feel positive about the future they tend to spend. I think only to wrap things up on my point is that we are going through a very strange year. There's no doubt about it. We have changes in fiscal policy, changes in monetary policy affecting the labor market. It's affecting the resource market, of course, the product markets, and the financial markets. But nonetheless, I still think that, as I began my opening comments, is that we are in a healthy situation, and the momentum will continue to carry us forward into 2018.
Thanks, Jack. I think it's important that we get to the questions. So, Chelsea, why don't you go ahead and give the folks on the phone the information they need to know in order to ask a question.
Yes, sir. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the 1 key on your touchtone phone now. Again, that's star 1 on your telephone keypad to ask a question.
Thank you, Chelsea. You know, while we're getting into the queue, Matt, if you think about what is going on right now, we've seen, you know, some of the things going on with the stock market, but that doesn't distract from what retailers are doing as a result of tax reform. What do you see them doing moving ahead to leverage this new tax landscape?
Well, I think the place to begin that conversation is just to refresh everyone's memory that the retail industry was paying at the highest corporate tax rate of any industry in the country. So you're paying the full 35% corporate rate. Small businesses were paying at higher individual rates without the kind of relief that was provided for in the tax reform bill, which lowered the corporate rate from 35 to 21% and provides substantial relief to small businesses as well in a variety of ways, not just giving them the opportunity to allocate capital a little differently for purposes of their rate, but also improving the way in which they manage their inventory and the accounting rules. So a whole variety of things. For the retail industry, broadly speaking, the estimated savings from tax cuts are worth nearly $175 billion. So we're talking about a substantial amount of relief for these companies that are in this very competitive environment. And as we've been saying, and we're starting to see already, the lower corporate rate is going to allow these businesses to redirect some of that capital both to their employees and to other aspects of their business. So it means we're early. It's only been a few weeks since the tax law took effect. It's going to start showing up in paychecks in the next few weeks, but we're already seeing, you know, those predictions come to fruition. There have been hundreds of companies that have made public announcements about this, about the investments in their workforce because of the tax reform reduction. At the moment, I think the number is more than 3 million American workers are going to receive either special bonuses or higher wages or additional benefits or some combination of all of those as a result of the tax cuts. A few weeks ago, you mentioned the time we spent with Doug McMillon at our convention in January last month. Walmart announced plans to give cash bonuses of up to $1,000 for eligible associates and increase its starting wage to $11 an hour. Starbucks announced going to invest $250 million in employees through higher wages and bonuses of up to $2,000. Apple's investing $350 billion over the next 5 years and adding 20,000 new jobs. Just this morning, CVS announced it was going to increase wages and provide bonuses to its employees. So I think you're going to see this continue. And taken in its totality, I think this is going to be very, very significant. Both for these companies will be more productive, and for these employees, they're going to have more take-home pay that they're going to put back into the economy.
Thank you, Matt. All right, Chelsea, let's open it up.
All right, our first question will come from Ann Dinidenvio.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having the call, or holding the call. In terms of, you know, as you're watching retailers come out with announcements, you know, whether it's bonuses or free or just permanent salary increases or hourly wage increases, what are you seeing as a trend? Are you seeing more people, more companies doing just one-time bonuses, or what do you think is the trend? And also, Doug McMillon had mentioned at NRF that the maternity and adoption, you know, package was really actually the one that struck the most emotional chord. So I was wondering, you know, what do you think will really resonate with work first, you know, on that front?
Well, hey, Ann, it's Matt. You know, I think a couple things. Just as, you know, we said before the tax bill passed, there's really no one-size-fits-all approach to what retailers are going to do with the ability to make investments both in their business and in their employees. So I think depending upon the market in which you operate, the, you know, product or services you provide to your customers, the folks that you view as competitors, you know, people are going to take different approaches to this. So I think one thing we know for sure is that the labor market is tightening, and while there are hundreds of thousands, millions of jobs are going unfilled because of lack of skills, the competition level as a result is even greater for those that have the right skills. And so when you see companies competing with one another in the workforce for that kind of skill and that experience they need, I think you're going to see some similarity in the terms of the benefits they offer based on what's important to those employees. So I don't think we can predict exactly, but I think we know that the increased wages are very, very important, and lots of retailers and other businesses have increased wages. So in order to be competitive with your peers, you're going to have to do that. And some of these companies decided to give one-time bonuses or stock options or, as you referenced, additional benefits on the leave side that are more sort of lifestyle benefits that I think are going to make them even more attractive destinations for employment. So I think there's going to be a variety of approaches that reflect the diversity of the retail industry.
Okay, and I just had a quick follow-up. When do you think, you'll start seeing a rise in spending because of the tax cuts? When will you start seeing that? Just kind of evidence that, wow, shoppers are spending that extra money, that they're getting in their paychecks versus saving.
And this is Jack Kleinhens. And basically, we know from past experiences that they don't appear to spend until they start seeing it in their paycheck and that they recognize it's permanent. However, there's sort of an anticipation effect that could be happening, which has already kind of mm-hmm. developed because of look at the strength we had at the holiday season. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be a gradual one. It's going to start to be seen in people's take-home pay as the year goes on. There will be more accumulated. It will take some time. I think in part, the other part, we won't see truly the effect until when people file for their 2018 taxes in 2019, and they'll recognize the changes that are impacting their deductions and their exemptions. So we're going to have sort of a partial effect in 2018, and then another step up in 2019.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Ann. Chelsea?
All right, our next question will come from David Moyne.
Yeah, hi, guys.
Hi, David.
Hi, just a couple quick questions. Did NRF last year also do a forecast, in February for the year? For 2017? I don't remember. I'm just curious if you did that.
Yes. The answer was yes. Yes.
Oh, so this is not anything unusual that you're doing a forecast this time of year for the year ahead?
Nope. And sometimes, David, towards the third quarter, we might do a revision.
Yeah. Do you have a first half, second half breakout?
No, we've really gone on a annual basis, Dave. This is Jack.
Yeah, okay. All right, and the last question is $175 billion estimated savings through tax cuts. Was that, I didn't understand if that was personal, corporate, or total?
That's a Wharton Business School estimate of the tax savings for the retail industry.
Oh, for the retail industry. Okay, great.
Right.
And any outlook on store closings? Openings versus closings.
Yeah, I, listen, Dave, it's Matt. I think, we're going to continue to see what we've seen, which is retailers finding ways to be competitive in this workplace, in this environment, and they're going to be making investments, and that includes, reallocation of capital from non-productive investments to more productive investments. Remember that, the suggestion that that the store count number is necessarily reflective of the strength of the industry, I think is a mistake, because we know thousands of stores are opening. We know that the industry grew at a substantial rate last year and is going to grow again at a substantial rate this year. So, there will be closings, just like there are always going to be openings as well. And I think if the industry is growing and finding ways to compete successfully, to me, one of the most compelling things was the fact that across
across segments, the retail industry grew and was healthy over the holiday season. So even those that have been under pressure, like department store and specialty apparel, had good years. And if you look back at what happened in November and December, on balance, the store portion contributed a higher component of sales than it had in previous years to overall sales. Now, that's not to suggest that we favor one channel over another. Walmart's a member, Amazon's a member. We represent everybody, all retail. I think what we're just trying to do is make the point that that retail is thriving, is successful, is healthy, and is doing what it's always done, which is continuing to evolve and transform to meet the expectations of consumers.
Okay, thanks a lot. Appreciate that.
Chelsea.
All right. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. All right. Our next question will come from Kevin King.
Thank you for having this meeting for us. With the successful Black Friday sales that have occurred, coupled with this tax reform bill, I know, Matthew, you said you had spoke to top company executives. Have they discussed any plans for what they're going to be investing in? Are they going to be investing more money into marketing or expansion or R&D or salaries and benefits? Or what are you guys expecting to see the companies invest this money that they're getting from the tax reform act and, having the good Black Friday season?
Well, I think it's a combination of all of those things, depending, again, on the segment of the industry in which they operate and their competitive set, where they see the greatest opportunity when it comes to making additional investments. There's only so much to go around in any company. That's always the challenge, right? I mean, it's finite resources, and so they'll have to determine based on, their business plan and their competitors and their customers where they need the investment. Do they need more investment in their e-commerce and online strategies? Do they need more distribution centers? Do they need to hire more employees? Do they need more technology people? Do they need to invest in advertising and marketing? Do they need to invest in pricing? I think it could be any and all of those. And as I said, when Ann asked the question, I think it's, the diversity of the industry is going to reflect the diversity of ways in which these investments get made.
Thank you. Chelsea, do we have one last question?
Yes. Our next question will come from Riva Lizonsky.
Hi, thank you. That's Riva. Is there a outlook for small business, small retailers in particular? And are there any categories such as apparel or toys or whatever that you see as going to have better years than others?
This is Jack Heinens. Actually, a large portion of small business are retailers, as you probably know. And the National Federation of Independent Business, their outlook is very positive, as well as the belief in sales growth. I'll have to use them as a base for our comment. To the extent that we don't really have a projection by sector, all I could really suggest to you that we had relatively strong growth over the last 3 months of 2018. If we start looking at their trend growth compared to 3 years ago, it was all very positive across all sectors, and some were a little stronger than others. So I think that we're going to expect that to see some similar growth, especially in the first half of the year, seasonally adjusted. I mean, there are some things that are going to be a little bit slower than otherwise, but I think they're generally headed in a positive direction. We don't make a projection by sector, unfortunately.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And Chelsea, thank you very much. That's it for today. If you have any questions about the forecast or any other issue, you can contact our media shop at press@nrf.com or call us at 855-NRF-PHOTO. PRESS, NRF Press. Thanks again for your time. Thank you, Chelsea.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference, and you may now disconnect.